and use the corpse as a swing. These days the city had more private and efficient ways of dealing with those it found surplus to requirements. But for the sake of tradition, the gibbet's incumbent was a quite realistic wooden body. The occasional stupid raven would have a peck at the eyeballs even now and end up with a much shorter beak. Vimes tottered up to it, fighting for breath. The quarry could have gone anywhere by now. Such daylight as had been filtering through the fog had given up. Vimes stood beside the gibbet, which creaked. It had been built to creak. What's the good of a public display of retribution, it had been argued, if it didn't creak ominously? In richer times, an elderly man had been employed to operate the creak by means of a length of string, but now there was a clockwork mechanism that needed to be wound up only once a month. Condensation dripped off the artificial corpse. "Blow this for a lark," muttered Vimes, and tried to head back the way he came. After 10 seconds of blundering, he tripped over something. It was a wooden corpse, hurled into the gutter. When he got back to the gibbet, the empty chain was swinging gently, jingling in the fog. Sergeant Colan tapped the golem's chest. It went donk.
"Like a flower pot," said Nobby. "How can they move around when they're like a pot, eh? They ought to keep cracking all the time."
"They're daft too," said Colan. "I heard there was one over in Quirm who was made to dig a trench, and they forgot all about it, and they only remembered it when there was all this water because it had dug all the way to the river."
Carrot unrolled the chem on the table and laid beside it the paper that had been put in Father Tubalcheck's mouth.
"It's dead, is it?"
said Sergeant Colan. "It's harmless," said Carrot, looking from one piece of paper to the other.
"Right. I've got a sledgehammer around the back somewhere. I'll just..."
"No," said Carrot.
"You saw the way it was acting."
"I don't think it could actually have hit me. I think it just wanted to scare us."
"It worked.
Look at these, Fred." Sergeant Colan glanced at the desk.
"Foreign writing," he said, in a voice which suggested that it was nothing like as good as decent home writing, and probably smelled of garlic.
"Anything strike you about them?"
"Well, they looks the same," Sergeant Colan conceded.
"This yellowing one is Dorfel's chem. The other one is from Father Tubalcheck," said Carrot.
"Letter for letter the same."
"Why's that?"
"I think Dorfel wrote these words and put them in old Tubalcheck's mouth after the poor man died," said Carrot slowly, still looking from one piece of paper to the other. "Ugh, yuck," said Nobby. "That's mucky, that is."
"No, you don't understand," said Carrot. "I mean he wrote them because they were the only ones he knew that worked."
"Worked how?"
"Well, you know, the kiss of life," said Carrot. "I mean, first aid."
"I know you know, Nobby. You came with me when they had that course at the YMPA." "I only went because you said you got a free cup of tea and a biscuit," said Nobby sulkily. "Anyway, the dummy ran away when it was my turn."
"It's the same with life-saving, too," said Carrot. "We want people to breathe, so we try to make sure they've got some air in them." They all turned to look at the golem.
"But golems don't breathe," said Colan.
"No, a golem knows only one thing that keeps you alive," said Carrot. "It's the words in your head." They all turned back to look at the words. They all turned to look at the statue that was Dorfel.
"It's gone all cold in here," Nobby quavered. "I definitely felt an aura flickering in the air just then. It was like someone..."
"What's going on?" said Vimes, shaking the damp off his cloak.
"Opening the door," said Nobby.
It was 10 minutes later. Sergeant Colan and Nobby had gone off duty to everyone's relief. Colan, in particular, had great difficulty with the idea that you went on investigating after someone had confessed. It outraged his training and experience. You got a confession, and there it ended. You didn't go around disbelieving people. You disbelieved people only when they said they were innocent. Only guilty people were trustworthy. Anything else struck at the whole basis of policing.
"White clay," said Carrot. "It was white clay we found, and practically unbaked. Dorfel's made of dark terracotta and rock hard."
"The last thing the old priest saw was a golem," said Vimes.
"Dorfel, I'm sure," said Carrot, "but that's not the same as saying Dorfel was the murderer. I think he turned up as the man was dying, that's all."
"Oh, why?"
"I'm not sure yet, but I've seen Dorfel around. He's always seemed a very gentle person."
"He works in a slaughterhouse."
"Maybe that's not a bad place for a gentle person to work, sir," said Carrot. "Anyway, I've checked up all the records I can find, and I don't think a golem has ever attacked anyone.
Or